The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're about to air for you a rerun.
Yes.
Back from early March, it's our first live show that we did.
Yeah, so we're going to say it's live, but it's not.
It's not.
It's not.
We've just been super busy. We ran two reruns last weekend. We did the back-to-back Fast and the Furious.
Yes, which was awesome.
Yeah, and so we're going to do another one this week. Hopefully, we'll be back live fairly soon. The problem being that we're just super busy.
So we are currently in production for Somewhere in Between, mm-hmm. which is a play at Riverfront Playhouse directed by our very own Chris Gomez.
That'd be me.
And I run the tech booth, so I run the lights and the sounds and the video and all that. So we've been really busy with that. So if you are in the Reading area, you should absolutely come and see it.
Please.
It is running now through October 13th. So it shows Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2 o'clock. Between now and the 13th, and you should come see it. It's hilarious, and it's wonderful, and everybody should see it. Get your tickets right now at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at the Enjoy Store on Plaster Street in Reading, or just come down to the theater at 1620 East Cypress Street and get your tickets. Doors open about 45 minutes before the show.
There you go. So enjoy our episode.
Yes, 5, 4, 3. That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a, I can't do it. Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it, and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
10, 5, 4, 3.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez. And we are live.
We are live.
Thus the reason why we started with Bill O'Reilly.
This is new for us.
Yes, exactly. We are, normally our show is recorded,
mm-hmm.
and then I trim it out to where, you know that I just said?
What?
That usually goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that goes away.
Those
things get trimmed. But today, we're back after a one-week hiatus completely.
Yes.
I was out on business last week. And
I don't know how to run the machine.
So we took the entire week off. I don't know what they replaced us with because I was obviously out of town.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But they replaced us. And
now we're back.
So, and we're live because we've had a busy weekend.
We have, yes. So one of the reasons that we didn't record our show is that we were too busy with our Oscar party. And so we're going to be talking about that today. So every year for the last 6 years, we throw a very large, very fancy Oscar awards viewing party.
Yeah, it's huge.
It started out small, and we're like, hey, let's kind of dress up. Actually, it started out as a game night.
Game night.
Our friends would usually come over on Sundays, and we'd play board games. And we're like, hey, let's play board games while we watch the Oscars. And from there, it just skyrocketed. And every year, we're like, okay, now you have to get super dressed up. You don't have to, but it's encouraged. And we give away prizes, so everyone has to fill out a ballot, and whoever gets the most correct wins a prize, whoever gets the least correct wins a prize, best dressed male, best dressed female.
There's been a lot of different categories throughout the years. The awards keep getting fancier.
They do.
The first year it was literally 4 awards
mm-hmm.
with a dollar store ceramic figure mm-hmm. glued to an upside down can of chicken in a can.
Spray painted gold.
Actually, one of the heftiest weighted awards we had. It actually felt like an award.
I think that was the closest we ever actually got to Oscars.
Size
and weight. But now we get professional trophy quality. Yeah, it's a big deal.
You know, maybe next year, I'm thinking out loud, maybe next year we will wait to get them engraved and we'll get them engraved after with the people's names, kind of like the actual Oscars.
The governor's party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could work.
Maybe.
But our party actually made it to the news this time.
It did. We were featured on the local news because usually it's at our house.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're like, you know what? It's just too big. It's too big. And so we had to move it to a new location. And we had the local news come and film us watching the Oscars. And our winner of the Hollywood Blockbuster Award, which is the most accurate ballot for the winners, Mr. Kevin Shoemaker.
Who guessed 20 out of 24 categories.
20 out of 24. That was amazing. He got super lucky. Anyway, so he was featured himself on the news as getting that many right. So congratulations, Kevin.
Yeah.
And we are going to have pictures. We'll post the video of the newscast, at least the raw footage, onto our website, which you should absolutely check out, GomezCast.com. And we are now on iTunes.
We're on iTunes. We are a podcast.
Officially a radio show / podcast.
Heck yeah.
We have arrived. Now, disclaimer on that is that only our 2017 episodes are on iTunes, but we're working on getting the rest of them on there. But hey, if you have an i-enabled device, get on iTunes, search We're a Little Behind.
Like iPhone, iPad, iMac?
iTunes, pretty much.
Okay.
Because you can get iTunes on anything, even on your Windows.
And then for anyone who doesn't have Apple products, you can still get it on our website, too.
Yes, and we are working on getting on Spotify.
We're close.
So, anyway, back to the Oscars. So, I want to talk a little bit about it. I kind of thought this year was a little boring.
Was it because you were too busy?
No, the show itself was just boring.
Yeah.
I think Kimmel is fine, mm-hmm. but he doesn't really bring much to the table, especially since he did it last year, mm-hmm. and, you know, they had the snafu with the Best Picture winner.
Mm-hmm.
So if you watch the Oscars, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I think even if you don't watch the Oscars, you know what we're talking about. Which was great when Mark Hamill came out to deliver the award, and he opens up the envelope, and he's all, don't say La La Land, don't say La La Land, don't say La La Land. Mark Hamill for
Mark
the win.
Mark Hamill, yes. So if you're not aware, just real quick, Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty presenting the award for Best Picture. They were given the wrong envelope. It was actually
last year.
Yeah, last year. It was actually the envelope for Best Actress, which went to Emma Stone for La La Land. Warren Beatty opened the envelope, noticed there was a problem, didn't really say anything, and then Faye just grabbed it out of his hand, thinking he was joking around, and said, oh, La La Land, because she saw that when, yeah, that wasn't the winner.
No, it was Moonlight.
It was Moonlight. So that happened last year, and Jimmy Kimmel was, of course, mortified that it happened on his watch. Even though he had nothing to do with it, as the host, he kind of felt responsible. So he got toast again, and Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty again presented Best Picture.
Yeah.
As far as we know, they did it correctly this time.
Yeah, at least they didn't say anything.
As far as we know.
Went to Shape of Water.
So who knows? Maybe Three Billboards actually won, but they're like, you know what? We're just going to keep that under wraps.
No, I don't. I think they would have made a point of it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure someone got fired last year. So
no, actually, they didn't. I heard about this. They were not. They're moved to different parts. They still have their jobs, but they're not able to do that.
Yeah, they're also not allowed to be on their phones backstage anymore.
Yeah,
because that was the problem. Is the PricewaterhouseCooper guy was Snapchatting?
Taking a bunch of pictures with celebrities.
No, I'm sorry. You have a big responsibility on. You had one job.
Yep, one.
One.
And they did not do that.
I know, like, I liked the year Neil Patrick Harris hosted because, you know, he did magic throughout the show, which was really cool. And mm-hmm. I liked when Seth MacFarlane hosted because he had Brian and Stewie on, you know, an animated segment at one point, and then he sang because, you know, he's always very musical.
I really enjoy his, and
so
I think it was very underrated, mm-hmm. and I think it was called out for being not good when that was really unfair.
Yeah. Yeah, I really liked his ear. And Ellen is always fun and charismatic and, you know, dancing down the aisles and taking the selfie scene around the world.
You know what my idea is?
What?
I think that they need to get a co-hosting. Remember that they did James Franco and
Anne Hathaway? And it was terrible.
But they need to do co-hosts again. Dick Van Dyke and Betty White.
Done.
Right?
Hollywood. Can we tweet Hollywood and have them do that?
They're both in their 90s, and they're as spry as ever,
mm-hmm.
and they need to bring that, like, embrace the older generation of talent while they're still here. Dick Van Dyke and Betty White, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, that's awesome. I love it. Do that. Hollywood, are you listening? Are you listening, Hollywood?
Yeah, do that thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. And the first year we had our party was Chris Rock.
It was Ellen.
Oh, Ellen was the first year?
It was
okay.
Ellen, then Seth MacFarlane, then Chris Rock, then Neil Patrick Harris, Then Kimmel, then Kimmel.
Kimmel. Okay. So, I mean, Chris Rock, you know, he's funny. And, I mean, Kimmel is, I guess he's a comedian. He's more of a late-night personality. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of boring. And their big event was, you know, last year they brought in a tour that came through the auditorium, which was actually kind of cool. So these people are just on a tour of Hollywood, and all of a sudden they find themselves at the Oscars. This time, him and a couple of actors crashed a premiere of A Wrinkle in Time. It just wasn't.
I think the part I laughed at the most was the best actor when Jennifer Lawrence and Jodie Foster came out. And Jodie Foster's in crutches, and Jennifer Lawrence is like, "What happened to you?" And they're all Meryl Streep.
Yeah, they were.
She's all
out.
Well. She tripped me a couple of years ago,
which was amazing.
That was awesome.
Yeah, and she was right in the front row, and she was taking it like a champ. Yeah, that was good. I mean, some of the speeches were fine. I will say one of the things I did like was that Jimmy Kimmel said, you know, feel free to give as long of speeches as you want, and you know, thank everybody, make political statements, do whatever you want. But whoever gives the shortest speech will win a jet ski.
And they did.
It went to the costume designer.
I'm pretty sure his was 27 seconds.
Yeah, something like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, the shortest Oscar speech in history has just been someone going up and saying, thank you, and then walking away.
Well, he was saying at the beginning of the show that the first, like, the telecast or the first ever Oscars, not telecast, but the first ever Oscars,
yeah.
15 minutes long.
Total.
Yeah.
Done. Right?
15 minutes for the award.
Mm-hmm.
What do? Coffee break? We're like, all right, we're making movies. All right, here's an award. Done.
Yeah.
Like, 15 minutes. This one was 3 hours and 54 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Which is another one of our prize categories, is that you have to guess when the telecast will end. Because we say, okay, this is when it's scheduled to end, but when do you think it's going to end? Which is never the same.
No.
No, never the same. We also have Oscar quizzes at the end, and people can expand their Oscar
knowledge.
And that was my favorite award title, was the IMDb fact checker.
Yeah. Yeah, we had, and you know, I think what really happens with our party, though, is that everyone, my favorite category is the best dressed male and female, because a lot of people like to step up their game.
Oh, yeah, they pull out all the stops.
And you can check out my Facebook on our website. GomezCast.com. You can link to my Facebook page, which has pictures of me, and my profile is in my outfit from the Oscars, where I actually won Best Dressed.
Finally.
Put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah, you did.
I think I've won that. Have I won that one once before?
No, I'm pretty sure this was the first year.
But I've won Best Dressed?
I think so.
I think I won it once before.
Oh, maybe.
Maybe that was you. I don't know. I know
I,
you
I've
have.
Won it.
Yeah. 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 I'm pretty sure you've won it twice.
I think so. I won no awards this year.
We seem to alternate.
We do. Yeah.
Yeah, it took me 3 or 4 years before I actually won one. I was like Leonardo DiCaprio of my own Oscars.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the Oscars themselves. So okay. Best Picture went to The Shape of Water. Haven't seen it.
Nope.
Best Actor went to Gary Oldman for Dark Tower. Haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it.
Best Actress, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards. Haven't seen it.
Nope.
Sam Rockwell won for the same movie. Haven't seen it. Allison Janney, I, Tonya. I haven't seen it. The only one of the only Oscar nominated movies we saw was Get Out, which we've previously talked about. And I'm so happy that it won something.
Yeah.
So Jordan Peele won for Best Original Screenplay for that movie. And I am so psyched that he won that.
Well, he was talking about it after. He was being interviewed on Good Morning America. And they asked, do you have another Get Out in you? And he's like, well, do you mean like a sequel? Or do you mean like, do I have another movie that's like Oscar caliber? And she's like, take it as you want. And he's like, I think if I come up with a reason to do Get Out 2, I might. He's like, but my goal is to make a lot more movies that my whole goal is to tell a story I'd want to watch or I'd want to be a part of. And he's going to keep doing that. So we're going to be getting a lot of talent coming from him throughout the next few years.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't do a sequel, because I'm tired of sequels. And that's one of the reasons I loved Get Out, is it was so original and different.
That brings you to the point of, since it was so good, and he wants to make these things to a certain point, like there's no reason to make a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there was a sequel, I'm betting it would be to a caliber that would take it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
Like, he would throw in something that would make it worthwhile.
I know. I just want him to make something different.
Like, it doesn't feel like it would be a cash grab.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like a franchise, a tentpole, where, you know, you got to keep making superhero movies because they just keep making money.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're good or not.
Yeah. But can you, I mean, the guy from Comedy Central, the guy from the skit comedy show Key and Peele, is now an Oscar-winning writer.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive.
Oh, yeah.
It's impressive.
It's impressive, but not surprising.
No, it was awesome. If you haven't seen it, see it. It's awesome.
It's a good one.
One of the only other movies I've seen is Coco. I saw Coco. It won a couple of categories, Best Animated Feature and Best Song, and I didn't like it.
No?
I didn't like this movie at all. I watched it with a friend of ours and his kids, and there are just too many plot holes. Like, there's just so much that I didn't like about it.
I didn't watch it, so, like, it's Pixar. Normally those are, like, top-notch, no?
I mean, it looked pretty, but the storyline itself I didn't like. There were too many things that I just sat there going, no, this doesn't make sense.
Stuff like that happens.
And while I haven't seen it, a lot of our friends are saying it is trying to be but not quite achieving The Book of Life, which came around the same time. But as it's not Pixar, it didn't get as much publicity, and I think Coco overshadowed it. But apparently they're very similar storylines. I haven't seen it yet, but I can see how the animation style of Book of Life can be a little off-putting, whereas the animation in Coco, because it's Pixar, is gorgeous. But story-wise, I'm like, meh. And I think one of the biggest disappointments of the night for a lot of the people at our party is that The Greatest Showman did not win Best Song.
Yeah.
And really, it was really surprising that was the only thing it was nominated for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the only musical there, and it wasn't nominated for Best Original Score. Really?
Really?
And it's all about P.T. Barnum and the circus, and it didn't get nominated for costumes or hair or make. Really?
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Just song? And the song was great, and the girl who sang it at the Oscars did a very good job. It was a very moving performance. But really?
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 So we have we're going to be taking a break here, but we are planning some fun stuff. What are we talking about in the next segment?
Next segment, we're talking about cartoons.
Ooh, like kids' cartoons?
No. We watch a lot of Adult Swim, which I think is the best name for a network, but it's the nighttime cartoon network.
Mm-hmm.
It's their nighttime programming, which is geared toward adults. And okay. So we're going to be talking about the shows on Adult Swim.
All right. And other...
And others, but...
Yeah.
But that's where we're going to kick it off.
For the most part. For the main focus.
Yes.
Yeah. So that sounds cool. So we will take a break. We will be right back. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Reading Kia on Cypress Avenue in Reading, home of wonderful cars and SUVs at great prices. All new Kias come with a world-famous 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Exciting cars, performance cars, and sport utility vehicles that are built to last. We know this to be true. We own Kias, and we love them. Take a test drive in a new 2018 Kia Optima, 2018 Kia Niro, 2018 Kia Rio, 2018 Kia Soul, or a 2019 all-wheel drive Kia Sorento. Make a great deal and drive home happy. And if you're looking for affordable financing, Reading Kia is confident their wide-ranging resources and commitment to integrity will satisfy your needs and make you a customer for life. Reading Kia will do everything necessary to make your car buying experience the best you've ever had. So visit ReadingKia.com, then come into Northern California's Kia headquarters. Reading Kia, Cypress Avenue in Reading, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, ReadingKia.com.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez.
And we are going to talk about one of our favorite genre of TV, which is cartoons, because we're kids at heart.
Love the animation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that song being the theme song to one of my favorite cartoons right now, which is Bob's Burgers. I love this show so much. It is so fun and so well written and entertaining, and it's just so cool. And it's been on for a couple of years now. Since 2011.
It's already been 7 years, huh?
It's been 7 years. Wow.
Wow.
That's a little mind-blowing. I mean, the show is great. So it's on Fox originally on Sunday nights, you know, with the Family Guys and the Simpsons and all
the
that.
The animation domination.
Animation domination. They don't really call it that anymore, do they? Because they put some live-action shows into the Sunday night block. But anyway, it's also on Adult Swim, like we were talking about earlier. A lot of the Fox Sunday cartoons go on to Adult Swim.
Right.
And so their whole evening block.
You want to keep calling it Saturday because you think it's Saturday morning cartoons.
I do. But
not Sunday night cartoons.
Saturday morning cartoons are for kids. Sunday night cartoons are for adults. Yeah. So Bob's Burgers is a story about Bob Belcher, who owns a burger restaurant with his wife and three kids.
And that's all he wants to do. He just wants to make burgers.
Just wants to make burgers. And his family just keeps interrupting that dream of making burgers. And it is Bob is voiced by H. John Benjamin, who is amazing. I love him so much. And he does a lot of voiceover work. And he and Patrick Warburton are similar in that he doesn't do voice. I mean, he does, but generally he doesn't do voices, quote unquote. It's just his voice.
Yeah. And if you have not been, if you're not aware of who it is and you think, may I have, I heard him somewhere, you probably have, because he sounds like this. Let's see if I can do it. All right, Tina. Linda, why exactly are you doing this? Why? I just want to make burgers. Can I please make some burgers? all right, kids, fine. Just stop making problems in my restaurant, okay?
Yeah, that's what he sounds like. And I love the cast on this show because of the five Belchers, there are two females. So I'm sorry, there are three females. So there's the mom and there's two daughters and then a son. And only the youngest girl is voiced by a woman.
Right.
She's voiced by Kristen Schaal.
Yes.
Who is great in herself. And
I think my favorite of them all is Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love Tina for being Tina and I love Louise for being Louise. But what I love about Jean is that they write stuff for him that is completely age inappropriate. And I don't mean like mature and dirty. I mean like he has all these pop culture references that no kid his age should know.
It is. It's
he'll like
true.
Make reference to like the facts of life.
Oh yeah.
You know, and if he's like 10 years old and Now, even then, it was like 2001 was when he was born. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he references way too many old things to be his age.
So one of my favorite episodes, he wants to write a play. He wants to write a musical for the school.
Yes.
And so he's very musically inclined in that he likes to play on his keyboard a lot, but he doesn't actually know how to play music.
He's like Ross.
Yes,
from
yes.
Friends.
He makes sound.
Yes.
And anyway, so the school wants to put on a musical, and he wants to write it. And so he writes a musical based on Die Hard, which is fantastic. But,
but.
His ex-girlfriend, whose dad is a jingle writer professionally, decides that she wants to do a musical of Working Girl. And so they go with Working Girl for the school, and so that while that's performed upstage in the auditorium, Gene is putting an underground
guerrilla style performance
in the basement of the school of Die Hard the musical.
Yeah.
And of course shenanigans take place, and the principal gets involved and says, "Okay, well now you have to combine them," and so they have to put their shows together, and so it's.
Die Hard. No, it's a. Isn't it Die Hard or.
Work Hard or Die,
die trying girl.
Girl.
Yeah, yes. There it is. Work Hard or Die Trying Girl. We're live.
We're live. and it was great. Oh, it was. And you know what? It was the best piece. It had the best piece of stage setting that I've ever seen in real life or on TV. So Gene himself is playing Hans Gruber. And as he's falling off the building at the end of the show, he kind of stands and walks backwards with his arm flailing while two other kids are holding up what looks like the street, and they're bringing it toward him. So you get the sensation that he's falling towards the street. It was amazing.
You want to put on this play, don't you?
I really do. I really do.
Work hard or die trying, girl.
Work hard or die trying, girl.
So that's pretty much Bob's Burgers in a nutshell, so yeah. To speak. And H. John Benjamin, though, like you said, does voices in a lot of other shows.
Yes, and so this is his, I think this is one of his main shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other show that he is on just as much on FX is Archer.
Archer.
And Archer, I'm a little bit behind because I never really watched it with any
regularity.
And so I started watching it last week on Netflix, and I have until tomorrow. It goes off of Netflix tomorrow.
How far are you in?
I just started season 5, which is Archer Vice. So Archer is a spy, and his mother is a spy, and so he works for his mother's organization, which unfortunately is called ISIS.
They had it first.
They did have it first. It's the International Society of. I don't know. It stands for something. But anyway, they called it that before. September 11th, and before, well, I'm sorry, not that far back, but before, you know, the terrorist group ISIS really gained a lot of prominence. So after they did, they actually got rid of their organization, and they started working with the FBI.
Well, at first they didn't, because I remember they were like, we had it first, we're not giving it up, but the terrorist group wasn't going away, and it was just more of a hassle than anything.
Mm-hmm. So they finally did get, I mean, they still reference it, they talk about it, but... Especially in this season, they no longer have an organization. The FBI came in and seized everything.
Except, so this is where they became drug yeah, cartel?
Except for the very large amount of cocaine, and so now they have to try to sell it. But it's a spoof of James Bond, pretty much, and H. John Benjamin plays the main character, Sterling Archer. And while he sounds a lot like Bob, you pointed out the other day that there is a difference.
Okay, so Bob is really laid back, very slow kind of talking, and his is more of a, all right, kids, I guess that's fine. You see how it kind of drags? And then with Archer, it's very, is that what you want? Do you want ants, Lana? Because that's how you get ants.
Yeah.
It's very high-pitched. No, I don't want to do that, mother. Yeah, it's very up there.
But one of my favorite episodes of Archer was the season premiere. So usually their break between seasons are Archer goes missing and they can't find him for 3 months. And that's how it explains the summer break of the show. And so in this particular one, he goes off and they can't find him. And then they finally find him. He is suffering from amnesia and he wandered into a burger restaurant and married the girl there and has three stepchildren. And it so he is Bob. And they call him Bob. His wife, Linda, who is voiced by the same guy who does it on Bob's Burgers, is Bobby. And, you know, the Russians come to shoot him, and he doesn't know why they want to kill him. And it's at the restaurant. Like, all the animation is the Archer style in Bob's Burgers world.
Right, that's awesome.
And it's amazing. And the rest of the Bob's Burgers cast has, at some point or another,
guest starred
on Archer. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm hoping that I can get through a couple more episodes before it disappears.
But, you know, that one I haven't seen with much regularity either. Because it's not really on my radar as much, but the rest of them on Adult Swim totally are.
Mm-hmm.
And H. John Benjamin is in another show that we're going to be talking about.
He is also on Family Guy.
He is. He is the convenience store clerk worker.
Yes. Which they reference the fact that he is Archer on one episode. They're storming a castle.
Yeah. So Peter and the gang wanted to buy a closed down, it's kind of like the restaurants where they have the actual jousting and stuff.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That closed down, so they wanted to buy it, but another group bought it, and he's part of this group. And so Peter and the gang decide to raid the castle, and Peter comes up, and he's all, "Peasants, bring out your archers!" And then all of a sudden, H. John Benjamin's character, he's all, "Yeah, what do you want?" He's all, "Oh, yeah, that's right, he's on that show, too."
It's just a fun little callback, but... So we have made it clear on our show that we are fans of Seth MacFarlane.
Huge fans.
And, of course, he's best known for Family Guy.
Family Guy.
And I think Family Guy is a very interesting show in that it goes in kind of waves. Because it's really good and really,
The thing about Family Guy is that there's so much going on, it's better on repeat viewing.
Mm-hmm.
The first time you watch any episode, you're not thrilled.
Yeah.
I never am. And I know that. I mean, there's some funny stuff. I think it's the shock value of every one of those shows that gets you on the first viewing. But mm-hmm. then you watch it again, and every episode gets better. It's like a fine wine. It just gets better.
Yeah.
But then like older ones, like the first season and stuff, have gone and like a turned wine. So
yeah.
They're not as good anymore.
Yeah. It's just really interesting with their references. They're almost as good as The Simpsons in predicting things.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, Family Guy predicted Bruce Jenner's
sex change
long before.
Into Caitlyn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They've actually referenced it a couple of times. We watched an episode just the other day where Peter was entertaining the troops, so he was putting on a USO show, and he introduces...
Bruce Jenner,
who comes out, dancing to the stereotypical stripper song, the old school one, and he's dancing with a boa, and the guys are all going crazy, and Peter says, "I'm just reminding you what you're fighting for."
And this was years before.
And then they had another episode where Peter said he was a woman,
Brian said that. That's Bruce Jenner. And Stewie says, "No, Brian. Bruce Jenner is a beautiful Danish woman."
Again,
years before.
Years before. So their references are always, right on top of it, which is quite interesting because it takes them, a year to make an mm-hmm. episode? So
which is why just recently they used up their last episodes with Adam West and Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, because they both did reoccurring roles. Adam West was, of course, Mayor Adam West, which is one of my favorite roles for him. I mean, I know he'll forever be Batman, but Mayor Adam West is amazing. And I think in a interview once, Seth MacFarlane said that they try to think of things to make Adam West say, for him to finally say, "No, I don't want to say that."
And he never did. He was a trooper.
He made fun of himself all the time on that show.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, Carrie Fisher played Peter's boss mm-hmm. at the brewery.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane gets some really good, really loyal people to be on his show. So mm-hmm. Similarly with Adam West, on his other show, American Dad, is Patrick Stewart.
Oh, man. Patrick Stewart goes even further.
Oh, he says
it's like he's trying to just one-up Adam West.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's done some crazy stuff on that show.
And he's consistently on that show. He is in almost every episode.
a little off topic, but it kind of was a precursor when Patrick Stewart hosted Saturday Night Live, and he was the baker of erotic cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, do you like my erotic cakes? This one has a fanny. Yeah. So it kind of was a precursor to that.
Yeah. And so that's another, of course, Seth MacFarlane show is American Dad that started out on Fox with Family Guy and got canceled and then was picked up by TBS.
It wasn't canceled. It's just that they decided to sell it off.
Mm.
So it never really had a cancelization. It just had a transfer.
Transfer. And now they can do a lot more things on the show mm-hmm. on cable than they could on the network, and it shows.
Using more language.
Yeah, but mm-hmm. this show is one that gets better every season. It started out as just a, you know, just a send-up of conservative values. You know, it was making fun of it. And it's kind of gotten away from that.
Oh, it went away from that within the first two seasons.
Yeah. And now it's just a really good show with one of Seth's best characters.
Oh yeah,
which is Roger the Alien.
Roger the Alien is really fun. Like they struck gold with what they could do with that character.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he's an alien living in their house and he has to use costumes, and they took it to a whole new level with that. So it's really funny where he'll show up and what he'll do and his fluid sexuality and all this. It's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a character gold mine with him.
Yeah. And again,
he sounds like Paul Lind.
Yes. It's another show where it's basically just Seth MacFarlane having conversations with himself.
That's all Family Guy. There's an episode of Family Guy. It's a takeoff of 12 Angry Men. And of the 12 jurors, I'm pretty sure 10 of them are
Seth.
9 or 10 are Seth MacFarlane mm-hmm. voices yeah. himself. Yeah.
Oh, he is a talented man.
Mm-hmm.
Like him or not, you cannot disagree that he has talent.
So I think what we're going to do is we got way more of these to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take a break, and we'll cover some more of these. What ones are we going to cover when we come back?
So we're also going to talk about Cleveland Show, which is, again, a pseudo-Seth MacFarlane show. And
it's a full-on Seth MacFarlane show.
Yeah, but he's not he wasn't on it anymore towards the end. He was just a producer. He wasn't on it anymore. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't as much as American Dad or Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about our other favorite Adult Swim show, which is an Adult Swim exclusive, which is Rick and Morty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll cover a few other things, too.
Yeah.
All right. So you're listening to We're a Little Behind. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Cascade Theater welcomes the Kingston Trio back to Reading for a concert performance Saturday, September 29th. These legendary pop folk icons are celebrating their 60th anniversary with a concert tour. Don't miss the Kingston Trio, Saturday, September 29th at the Cascade. Get tickets today at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Every day we hear about the dysfunction and fighting in Washington, D.C. It's hard to know who to trust. That's why we need real local leaders, like our Congressman Doug LaMalfa. He's a farmer who understands our community. Doug LaMalfa isn't part of the establishment. He's one of us.
I'm Doug LaMalfa. The North State is my home and always will be. I work for you and put people above politics. I've worked to help our local veterans and the victims of the catastrophic fires, and I'm fighting to make sure everyone gets the health care they need and can afford including those with pre-existing conditions. I'll always fight for our values and to make our community better. Jobs are coming back, and we passed one of the largest tax cuts in history for middle-income families. I'm fighting to make Washington work for you. Thanks for listening.
Real results for real people. That's our Congressman, Doug LaMalfa. He's one of us.
I'm Doug LaMalfa, and I approve this message.
Paid for and authorized by Doug LaMalfa Committee.
KCNR Free Fire Radio, your town hall of the airwaves, is ground zero for the renaissance of downtown Reading. Our state-of-the-art on-air studio is under construction right now, so you might hear a bit of hammering in the background. We're upgrading our sound and control systems, so you may occasionally hear a little glitch, but bear with us, we will keep it to a minimum. And we will be expanding our presence with an FM channel and an exciting launch into video on YouTube Live. KCNR, Free Fire Radio. Join in the conversation.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez.
And we're talking about our favorite cartoons. And so the last one from the Fox to Adult Swim I wanted to talk about is Cleveland Show. So Cleveland Show was a spinoff of Family Guy. So Cleveland got his own show, which was really funny the last episode he was in because Quagmire thought he was getting the spinoff. And so that was a lot of fun. But this is a show that I did not like when it was airing. I didn't care for it. So Cleveland,
it had the same kind of level of comedy that Family Guy has, which is you have to repeat view it.
Mm-hmm. It didn't feel witty. It didn't have the same kind of spark. And so Cleveland and his son, Cleveland Jr., who is completely different than he was on Family Guy, moved to Cleveland's old hometown, and he marries his high school sweetheart and her two kids, and so it's their new family. And yeah, I really didn't like it. I didn't care for it. But now, after watching it in syndication and watching the reruns, I actually appreciate it a lot more.
Yeah, it was separate from its own. And what I really liked is that it brought a lot of racial issues up,
mm-hmm.
and covered a lot of them, which is weird because it's voiced by a white guy.
Yeah.
And then the redneck hillbilly in that is voiced by a black guy.
Yeah, very, very interesting little dynamic there.
It's the same voice. So the redneck hillbilly Lester is voiced by the same person as the son, Cleveland Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Same guy,
yeah. Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He is so good.
Kevin Michael Richardson.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
He does great voices.
Yeah, he's in a lot of things. He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Very deep voice.
Yes, except when he's Cleveland Jr., it's a very high-pitched mm-hmm. voice. But I did like that they did explain why Cleveland Jr. looked so different. Because on Family Guy, he was the small little kid, and he was really only prominent in one episode where he was playing golf. And so he would jump up and down saying, I'm Tiger Woods. And so a couple seasons in or episodes into Cleveland Show, they showed
almost towards the end.
Yeah, because now in Cleveland Show, Cleveland Jr. is a very large boy, and they show that he's actually an undercover agent who took out the old Cleveland Jr. and took his place, yeah. And he's like a sleeper agent.
Yeah.
And there was a great episode. I don't know if it was the same episode or not, but he starts playing golf and he jumps up and down. I'm Tiger Woods. And he's only able to do it once. He's like, oh, man, I'm out of shape. it was really funny. But that's definitely a show that I enjoy more now than I did when it was airing. And so it's really too bad it didn't last longer. But I do like that once they did decide to end it, Cleveland and his whole family returned to Family Guy.
Yeah.
So they moved back to Rhode Island, and now they've incorporated those characters, those new characters, his wife, his stepdaughter, and his stepson.
Well, I love how much they joked about the fact that it didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it wasn't doing well even when it was on. When Peter visits him, he visits Peter in Rhode Island, and Peter's cell phone rings, and it's the Cleveland Show theme song. He's all, "Oh, is it you chose my theme song?" And he's like, "Yeah, there's no ratings. We gotta plug this anyway. We can't. Hello."
Yeah, Yeah, so they're very much aware of the fact. But they did have a couple of crossover episodes, which was fun.
Yeah.
That, you know, Peter would go and be on Cleveland Show. Cleveland would come back to Family Guy and do a couple of special things there. So that was fun. You know, it, not nearly as extensive as the Simpsons Family Guy crossover, which I honestly never thought I'd see. Which
was huge.
Which was a really cool episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they finally got that together, but they
did it.
They got the Griffins in Springfield, and
it was technically a Family Guy episode.
Yes,
which means that it's the only time you'll see the Simpsons on Adult Swim because they don't have the rights to the Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting.
Yeah, and it was really interesting to watch the behind the scenes on it too, because they actually had to change the way they shade things because the Griffins' eyes are so much brighter white than the Simpsons,
mm-hmm.
and so they kind of had to
tone it down.
It was really interesting to watch it from a technical standpoint.
Yeah.
But I loved when they get to the town, Peter remarks that everybody looks like they have jaundice.
Yeah.
Yellow.
And I love that Lois is like, oh, this town's great. We should come back more often. And Brendel, no, I'm pretty sure this is a one-shot deal.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I liked it.
And it's smart,
mm-hmm.
but I think this one of the smartest shows on Adult Swim is definitely Rick and Morty.
Oh, Rick and Morty. Oh, my gosh. This show, I wonder if they had any idea how big the show was going to be when they started it.
They brought back Szechuan sauce to chicken McNuggets at McDonald's.
There are signs up at McDonald's that say, due to the popularity of the Szechuan sauce, this is our sauce policy. That if you order 4 McNuggets, you get 1 sauce. If you order 6, you get 2 sauces. Like, this is a huge deal.
No, you don't even
get
that much. You get 1 sauce for 4 or 6 nuggets, 2 sauces for 10, and 4 sauces for a 20-piece. Trust me, I know.
This is true. Hey, at least you didn't pay a couple of $1,000 for a Szechuan sauce.
True.
So, was it last year?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not aware, Rick and Morty has this thing about Szechuan sauce. It became a big thing. Rick just wants his sauce that was discontinued at McDonald's. So McDonald's saw the episode and said, hey, let's bring the sauce back. To which they did a limited run.
And by limited, we mean like 20 packets at various stores, not all of them.
And they didn't realize the veracity of fans. There were people lined up around the block for these half-ounce cups of sauce.
It almost started riots.
And people were selling it on eBay for thousands of dollars, and it was insane.
Mm-hmm.
People get insane.
Someone traded a car for a packet.
Bad decision.
Yes.
You have chosen poorly.
Yes.
But the show itself, it took me time to get into this show. The animation style is weird. The eyeballs or the pupils of their eyes are just like squiggly little dots.
Yeah, they're like
and so they're a little distracting. It's kind of a, I don't know, it's a weird animation style, and so it took me a little while to get into it, but now I'm so glad because it's so smart and it's so unique, and it's very impressive that the two main characters, Rick and his grandson Morty, are voiced by the same person.
He does a couple of few voices in there. He's also Mr. Meeseeks and Mr. Poopy Butthole.
He is very much a Seth MacFarlane-esque actor because it's just amazing. He does a really good job. And so it's funny that this show started off as a Back to the Future spoof.
Yeah, which is why it's Rick and Morty instead of Doc and Marty.
Yeah, but it's a great show.
Oh, it's fantastic.
We introduced it to a friend of ours just this last weekend because she didn't really understand our references, and now that she's seen a couple episodes,
quotable.
It really is.
And it's really smart, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of it's really disturbing. Like, this is do not watch this with your kids.
No.
No.
No, not
but,
at all.
Like, I mean, you can get away with watching Bob's Burgers with your kids.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, do not watch Rick and Morty with your kids. It's so smart, so well written. It's Dan Harmon who did Community,
mm-hmm.
and they have it. It's just so well done,
mm-hmm.
and it's planned. It's kind of like it's almost like the Futurama where they plan these things ahead. And right now, we know for a fact that there's some sort of secret involved in the show that's not going to be revealed until they want to reveal it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the whole basis for the show apparently, and people have gotten close to guessing what it is, but no one has quite yet. So I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, it's a good show. Good show. So that's what we watch at night when we're unwinding. We watch Adult Swim.
Well, we keep the TV on as we sleep.
We do.
And that's what's on.
This is true.
So we absorb a lot of this through osmosis.
And then we wake up to Teen Titans.
Yeah, Teen Titans. And, well, especially on the weekends. And another one that we'll discuss, The Amazing World of Gumball.
Oh, such a... So this is a kid's show.
This is a kid's show.
But it is obviously written by people our age.
This is one of the ones you should really check out because it is so smart and funny. It's got a lot of weird characters that don't really fit into the world, but the references that they make and the writing is so smart, and it is genuinely funny.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's one of my favorite kid shows. Like, there's a lot of kid shows out right now that I just don't get. You know, I'm just too old. But this show, it's entertaining, it's well written, and I don't mind watching it.
I kind of wish that they would move it to Adult Swim or even reruns. Like, do both, but, like, you know, fill up some of the time that they have with some of their weirder Adult Swim shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
their live action stuff is weird.
Yeah, their overnight stuff that happens at 1 and 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm. They're off the air. Their off the air stuff is disturbing. Stuff. I'm really glad that we're asleep by that point. But every once in a while, I'll wake up and go, oh my gosh, what's happening?
Yeah, so I really wish that they'd kind of put some Gumball in Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs there because, you know, you don't have to be crass to be on Adult Swim.
Yeah.
I mean, they have King of the Hill on there.
Mm-hmm.
I love King of the
Which
Hill.
Which bookends Adult Swim. I love it. So Adult Swim goes from being Cartoon Network to Adult Swim at about
8 p.m.
8 p.m. And the very first show every day for Adult Swim is an episode of King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that show. And then the very last show before...
At 5:30 in the morning.
At 5:30 in the morning before... Cartoon Network starts again is King of the Hill. And I think they do that on purpose because it's a gentle show.
Yeah.
Like, kids can watch King of the Hill.
If there's some overlap, you're going to be okay.
You're going to be okay. You wouldn't really want to slap them with Family Guy because that can get a little crude sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But
Not the Rick and Morty.
Definitely not the Rick and Morty, but King of the Hill is a good buffer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to go. All right, so off topic, new topic.
New topic.
I bump music that we came in on. If you didn't recognize it, that is a song called Hazard by someone called Richard Marx.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't remember Richard Marx, what's wrong with you? We got to see him this weekend.
Yes, live in concert.
Live in concert at the State Theater in Red Bluff.
He was amazing.
It was more than I had expected it to be.
So we walk in, and on stage is a piano, two guitars, and a microphone. And that's it. So he comes out on stage. He grabs one of the guitars. He starts singing into the microphone. And then he's like, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but this is pretty much what the show is. He had no backup band, nothing. It was just him and his guitar, or him and his piano. At one point, he actually came to the front of the stage, unplugged his guitar, and did completely acoustic.
No microphone.
No microphone. His guitar was just acoustic. It wasn't plugged into any amps, and it was just him, and it was amazing. That is a talented, talented, talented man.
He's very funny, too. Like, the whole show is very personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets in there and he tells stories, and he's got a great sense of humor. Like, mm-hmm. He's very much aware of who he is.
Yeah.
Like I, you know, 80s heartthrob with the mullet.
He showed pictures.
Yeah. He's like, I can't believe I actually walked out of the house like this. But, like, you know, he's very top 40 adult contemporary. He's very, you know, slow.
And he played all of his hit songs. He's like, because I know I go to concerts. I don't want to hear the new stuff.
Oh, my gosh. That was a great story. Yeah. He's like, hey, I'm just like you. I go to concerts. I want to hear the hits. He's like, I went to the Foo Fighters concert and Dave Grohl comes out. He's like, we're going to play a bunch off the new album. He's like, fine, Dave. I just want to hear the good stuff. Just play Longview Everlong and just go with it.
But and he's like, I might play you one new song, and he did, and it was gorgeous. It was a mm-hmm. great song. But yeah, he was so personable and just joking around with
he's
the audience.
He's telling the story of when he worked with NSYNC because he wrote and produced a song for NSYNC
mm-hmm.
called This I Promise You, and
which makes sense because it was a beautiful song and kind of different from the rest of their songs.
And he played his very own original country song, because he's written a lot of country songs for other artists. Mm-hmm. He's done Crazy for Kenny Rogers.
He's written for Keith Urban.
A couple of songs for Keith Urban. Mm-hmm. So he does that for other artists, but he wrote his own for himself, and it was hilarious.
It really was.
It was a classic country song. It had the twang, it had the sound and everything, but it was about a woman who just won't go away.
Yeah. How can I miss you if you won't go away?
Oh, so good. Like that whole concert. And he just played all the stuff. Every time something would come up, you go, am I going to know this? And every time, yes. Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you ever get the chance, absolutely go see his concerts.
Oh, absolutely.
His concerts are amazing.
All right. That's it. That's our show.
Hey, we
Thanks
made
for
it
joining
through.
Us live. Yes. So that is it. You've been listening to We're a Little Behind. Good night.
Good night.
The news is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew opens 7 days a week.